26. And
Miller Tynes.
Yeah, welcome.
I dig it, dude.
You're the first official guest on Miller Tynes.
Wow.
Besides from my dad.
I feel honored right now.
You're following up my dad's podcast.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Who'd have thought?
Who would have thought? Who would have thunk?
Yeah. Good old Miller Tynes.
Miller Tynes. I like the name. Yeah. You know, we talked about this, I think it was last year, and the logo is really, really pays homage to Miller Tynes. So I dig it. I dig it.
Yep.
And, you know, they're mule deer, not the elks.
Not the elks.
Not the elks. So I dig it. I dig it. It really fits you.
Mm-hmm. Welcome, Anthony.
Thank you.
Anthony Como, man himself.
Yeah, appreciate you having
you me. You live probably one of the most interesting lives of anyone I know.
That can't be true.
It is.
That can't be true.
What you're involved in, just what I know in the backside of everything.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate that. It is pretty cool. I'm pretty lucky. I get to do a lot of rad things. And then outside of all the rad things I do professionally, it's just trying to continue that and do that on my own and get to do it with my son, which is like one of the coolest things. So, and then it gets to, yeah, it's, I mean, not to get deep right away, but it's like, you know, I'm 40 years old and I know a lot of dads that can't do what I get to do with my son. He's 16 years old and I get to do everything with him that he likes to do. And we like to do all the same things. So like this weekend we were snowboarding and like,
you guys live a pretty active life.
Shoulders a little sore, but you know, but yeah, it's pretty fun, man. It's good. Yeah. Keeps me on my toes. Yeah.
Snowboarding, dirt bike.
Dirt bikes, snowboarding, hunting, shooting, archery. What else? I wish I could still surf, but the Oregon coast is just way too cold. Oh, yeah, man. When I worked in the action sports industry, I was like, we surfed every day at lunch or before work and rode moto and all that stuff. So, yeah, it's the action sports grind, dude. Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just living the dream.
And then you fit hunting in there somewhere. It was a weird one, but it happened, and it's been an amazing journey. So, yeah.
Excited to see you today.
Yeah.
Staying here because of a SHOT Show starting.
Yep. Here for the old SHOT Show. Knock on wood, and I'm going to hope to not get sick this year. I feel like that's just like a given for SHOT Show. You know, you get sick every year. Yeah. But I'm gonna do my best and try to stay away from that. But, yeah, we're here for SHOT Show. SHOT Show kicks off next week, but we're here for the week prior for Defense Symposium. So we bring everybody in and get to do a lot of really cool things. And customers get to shoot all the newest and greatest toys out there and try all of our optics. And so be on the range over at Clark County for the till Monday through Monday. And then SHOT Show Tuesday and Wednesday and get to go walk the show and check out all the cool new products. Hopefully there's some cool new stuff out there, which I'm sure there will be.
Oh yeah. I always love walking around SHOT Show.
Yeah.
I feel very fortunate.
Yeah. We got to walk around last year together. Yeah. Yeah.
You check everything out.
Yeah. We saw Lyle last year, hung out with him, and then we hung out at the Barnes booth for a little bit. So yeah, it's cool.
Should be good. Exciting times.
Yeah.
Can't believe it's already 2026 though.
Trade show season. Here we are. Yeah. Yeah. It's 2026 and like January in our business, like January hits and it's just like, you're like, whoa, where did the year go? And it's just like trade show, trade show, trade show, trade show.
And then trying to fit in hunting apps.
And then it's spring bear. Yeah. Yes. Spring bear. I can't wait for spring bear this year. I'm honestly like really pumped for it.
You know, I have a lot of points in your state for spring bear.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Like how many?
I want to say six.
Holy cow, dude.
Could be seven.
What are you saving for?
I don't know. I just keep building them.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, we should.
I gotta burn
cash in those points.
I can draw every single unit.
You should do a party and carry like a couple people, and then we can do a really fun hunt, dude. There's nothing better than coastal black bear, but it's tough to say to burn those points for that because that's you don't need that many points for that. So
I'm looking down through 100%. I can draw every single.
Yeah. Bear. Oh, 100%. Yeah. There's some, dude, honestly, one of the cool things would be like Snake River. Jet boat, bear.
Oh, yeah.
That would be
a new adventure. Because I've never done a Yeah, let me think. I've worked on jet boats before, and I've been in North Idaho doing fishery stuff, but never actually done a jet boat style hunt.
I've never done it either, but it looks...
looks phenomenal.
Phenomenal. Looks amazing. Yeah.
Do you combo fishing with that?
I mean... everything's blown out? I mean, yeah. I mean, maybe some bass fishing or something, but like at least some kind of fun. Yeah.
I have to do that.
Yeah. Let's talk about it off the air.
I normally don't give out how many points at it, but it's like whatever, bear
yeah.
hunt. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Huh, I'm looking at odds right now. Yeah, I can draw everything.
This guy's a magician. He's on his computer looking at points right now. Just
always. Yeah, I was
talking and yeah, that's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, last time, when was last time we hung out? Sig Next or?
No, I think it was TAC.
Oh yeah, sure. TAC. Yeah, TAC, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I found out why I punched myself in the face, too.
That story is so funny. When we did the old release roulette.
Yeah, it was release roulette. I grabbed Trails release. It was a thumb button. I forget what brand. We don't need to say the brand anyways. But I was so confident because it was a thumb button. I picked it up, and I had gone through some other bouts of, I won't even call it target panic, but it was a user error with my thumb button. Stupidity, honestly, just not looking and paying attention at your gear. And I switched back to my Spot Hog Wise Guy release, and so I chose the thumb button, and I was pumped. I was like, oh, this is gonna be easy. It was like a 30-yard target. And as I was drawing my bow back, it fired like 3/4 of the way through my draw cycle, and I have never punched myself in the face, and I straight up punched myself in the face, like square in the jaw.
And we all looked at you like you thumb. That's the only way that could happen.
No, I did that.
Until
30 minutes ago, Trail owns up to having to send his thumb button back in because it happened to him twice, and he punched himself twice. So on air, it was not my fault. So I was happy to know. I mean, I still have punched myself, but it was maybe not user error. It was gear related. So
who used my back tension? Was it Jess or was it Troy?
I think it was Troy. Yeah. 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 That's
it was hot too.
That scares the.
And I forgot to tell him too, because I was like, oh yeah, it's hot. Just ease into it. Yeah. And I was like, wait, my draw length, draw weight, how the holding weight is, it's going to totally be different
yeah.
for a shorter draw length.
Yeah.
So it's definitely going to be extremely hot. So once he got off the safety.
Boom. That was a fun day. We saw that moose in that pond. That was cool. We had a good, that was a good shoot.
It was the last couple of targets we were trying to shoot him in the face.
Yeah. 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 I remember Troy left his arrows on the mountain. Somebody brought him back down. That was nice of them. Oh, yeah. And he was like, whatever. And I was like, bro, that was like, you had like 5 arrows in there. That's an expensive date.
Yeah. We sat down at one point and had a little dump.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah. That was the last time we hung out. Yeah. It was a good time. Yeah.
Season came and went.
Came, went. Everybody had a interesting year this year, but
it seemed like everyone.
Yeah. Yeah. It was
not a very great year. Some people had really good stuff, but like still not a just slam dunk year.
Yeah. I know some people that killed some really good animals, whether it be mule deer, elk, whatever, you know, and it's like, and, you know, you talk to other people and it's like, where's Waldo kind of deal. I had one of those hunts too. It was like, where's Waldo? Yeah, weather just, it didn't really happen. It's still not even happening. And we're in January. Like I was telling you earlier, like one of my buddies, Andy, posted a picture in Bozeman and there's no snow on the ground. It's wild. Yeah. Like, and up at our mountain, normally we're getting, you know, we just, the ski mountain just opened like a couple weeks ago. And it's, yeah. Yeah.
I heard like lift ticket prices right now are outrageous.
Oh my God. I was talking to a guy on the lift. He was telling me they went to Sun Valley. It's like $500 or something like that. Something egregious. And I could be wrong. It's like somewhere in between $350 to $500. It doesn't matter. That is insane. Like,
I swear back in the day. So obviously I lived in Columbia Falls.
Yeah.
So big mountain. Up in Whitefish, it was my local mountain.
Yeah.
I swear, like a season pass was like $300.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Like I thought that was expensive.
Yeah.
And that was a season pass.
Oh yeah, not anymore, man. Yeah, my son's on the high school snowboard team, and then I like to snowboard. It's like $2,000 for us to get season passes. Yeah. Yeah, it's not a cheap date.
It's like a Wyoming elk tag.
Yeah, it sure is. Special draw.
What's a better buy?
Why not do both?
Yeah.
You know, hey, you ain't going to bury me with this money, man. Like, I'm going to live it to the fullest, and I'm going to do everything that I can and just try to stay on 2 feet. Yeah. Knock on wood.
What's been exciting for you? Something you got to look forward to in 2026 here? You're going to shoot more guns, shoot more bows?
Honestly, both, man. I think when I met you originally, I was, like, super heavy in the NRL hunter scene and doing a lot of competition, and I don't want to say I got burnt out on it, but I got burnt out on it. But I did a lot. You know, I did like 2 matches 1 year, and then I went like ham the next year. And for me, like, you know, where we live, we have to travel quite a bit to get to these events. So this year, one of the things I really like to train for NRL Hunter and like PRS stuff is NRL 22. It's a blast. And like, it's the barrier of entry is like super low. Like, I've got a Tika T1X rifle that is in an Oryx chassis made by MDT. It's, you know, like their entry level chassis. And I have that, and I shoot like some decent ammo through it. And it's a fun gun to shoot, man. And like, did a little trigger work to it and some extended mags on that thing. And NRL 22 is like their local events, cost $10. And it just gets you trigger time and in positional shooting. And so my goal this year is to get back into that. Archery, always a thing now. That's a staple of my life. Do an indoor league. Unfortunately, our local shop shut down, so we had to find a new shop to shoot out of, which we have now. But went to a league a couple weeks ago. Forgot my this is funny. This is how long it had been since I shot indoor. I forgot my sight. Forgot my sight.
So that'd been interesting.
Now. Target bow sight. You know, I keep it in a Pelican case.
Yeah, yeah.
Show up at league, pull my bow out of the case, and I'm like looking around. I'm like, oh man.
Did you shoot that night then without it?
No. Ellis, my son, had his bow. He's got a older V3X, and so he had his bow. So I was like, let me throw a couple arrows down range real quick and shot it. And this, I mean, he's got the same draw length as I have, basically. Peep height's a little bit different, but I was just like, I shot a few arrows. I was like, yeah, let's do it. So I shot with his bow the whole night. It was pretty funny.
I want to go back to NRL Hunter.
Yeah.
So I just had a meeting, I think it was this week or last week, with Zach of Montana Wild.
Mm-hmm.
We were chatting about NRL Hunter.
Yeah.
And I think he's got me convinced. I know a bunch of guys there who have been trying to get me. I know
you convinced
me before too.
Dude.
I think I need to do it.
Let's do a team match.
Yeah.
Let's do a team match.
What would you suggest? Me going into it.
Yeah.
Is the community pretty open? If like, I just want to go.
Oh yeah.
Like, obviously I'm just going to throw it out there. Like, I'm probably going to suck.
No, you won't.
I think I'd be.
Nah, you'll be pretty good.
What are things I would need to like maybe work on before I try to go to the first one?
Time. Just being under a clock is, I mean, look, I wasn't anything like, I think I had one podium during my time of shooting, and like it's tough, man. And the competition is stacked, especially like in the factory classes now, and like all the guns that you can shoot in factory. Like, there are some amazing factory rifles, and like the calibers you can shoot in factory now. Like, when I first started, it was like 6.5 Creedmoor was like your factory class. And now there's guys shooting 6 Creed. And really the biggest thing is time management. Is like, when that, like, people don't get it, but like, and I'll relate this to hunting, because it made me so much better in hunting scenarios, because everything is like, during NRL Hunter, it's like that clock starts and your brain just goes to like, I mean, it's a disaster when you first do it, because it's like, if you don't have that like practice down of like, because you have a pack, you have a tripod, you have to deploy all the stuff, right? So you got to take your pack off, you got to grab your tripod out, set that up, get behind glass, find your targets, range your targets, write your dope down, all this stuff, right? And you're under I think it's like, if I recall correctly, it's a 4 minute clock or something like that. And so you're under this new, you know, stress that you've
never had that. No, I go to my range. I'm just like, okay, I'm going to shoot.
Yeah.
15 rounds. And then I go
cool your barrel, like all
cool barrel every single time.
Yeah.
And so when you have that clock and you're trying to hit targets for points, and you're stressing out and you're getting down on yourself and you're like, oh man, you're kicking rocks. It's like, I remember my first couple, I was just like, man, like I, like this is rough. Like finding targets sometimes, like as a hunter too, you're like, man, it's like, I'm amazing at glassing. Like what the heck? And so it's just, I think the biggest thing, the biggest piece of advice I would give somebody is time management and understanding what that looks like. You have so much time, but you feel like you have like the littlest amount of time. One of the biggest things is honestly, like when you go to those matches is like looking at what other people are running. And I think one of the biggest things that helped me was there's this, I have them and it's like literally like a stopwatch and you can set the time. I attach it to my ears via Velcro.
Okay.
And it literally, you can set it to count down, you know, to 1 minute, and then it'll say 1 minute, 2 minutes, 3 minutes. And then when you get to the last minute, it'll count down your last 20 seconds, 30 seconds. So you can set it so it'll start counting it down. So you know how much time you have in that scenario. And it really helps because, you know, if you're sitting there looking, you know, if you spend 2 minutes looking for targets and you haven't gotten to shooting, you probably need to start making some moves and at least get some points on the board kind of deal. But it's a game, you know, a lot of, you know, it's like USPSA pistol shooting or like shooting PCC. People will game it any other way, you know, any way they can. And so it's just figuring out those little tricks and tips, but it's going to the event and like really seeing how it goes. But time management is probably, I think, one of the biggest stressors and mentally preparing.
Are people pretty open to giving tips and
suggestions? Oh, yeah.
Like a good duty?
They have a skills class, which is awesome. So like if you're not worried about competing and you just want to go have the experience, they have a skills class and you show up. And so normally, I think if I'm not mistaken, the skills class, like you can actually look down range prior to shooting the stage, or you can ask the RO for help and the RO can assist you.
Oh, nice.
If you're shooting for points and shooting for class, you don't get to see where the targets are. You go into the stage blind. RO is just calling hits and misses. You can ask them certain questions. They may reply, they may not, and that's how it goes. So skills is definitely a cool way to get into it and for somebody to kind of start and get their feet wet. It's addicting, man. The second year I went ham on it, dude. I was like, I think I shot like 4 matches. I went to like, I was in Tennessee. I found a way to get to another match in Tennessee, and it was the NRO Hunter Games match, and it's cool. I mean, the amount of people you meet out there, and just they're all like-minded people. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, when it comes down to a hunting scenario, I remember that year I was hunting in Montana on a rifle hunt, and I had I think it was like 670-yard shot on an elk. And it was like easy. Like it was just like, you know, you feel when you're under that much pressure in an event and then you back it off into a hunting scenario where you can kind of methodically take your time and set up, making sure you have the right position and all that stuff. Like you can do it under, you know, distress now. And then now you pull it back and you're hunting and it just makes everything like that much more easy. And you just, the confidence you have to make those shots. I mean, you already have that confidence, but to do it under time management and like being able to just, it's just repetition.
Yeah. Cause I feel like I'm a good shot.
Yeah.
But I've never tried to do that. Like you're saying, like rush, like go through the motions really quickly, try to establish a good shooting position. And like that all transfers, I think, one-to-one.
Yeah. Oh
yeah. You always want to be laying down prone. I've dug out my bipod, got in the right spot.
It doesn't always work out.
And I was waiting for that mule deer to stand. I mean, he's going to stand up and go right back to bed because I'm going to take the perfect shot.
Yeah.
But it doesn't always work that way.
Yeah.
And that's why I think I finally should do one just to add that other tool to my toolkit of like, okay, I know how to work under a stressful situation. This is so much more easy now because I've done that. And it's like, yeah, when I go to the range, it's like, you know, I try to go to the range on windy days. I try to go to the range on calm days. But that's the only really
practice
I'm getting. I'm not getting my heart elevated. I'm not doing any of that type of practice. And I think it can only help. And then I know my personality is that I've always been worried I'm going to get addicted to it.
Oh, it's...
I'm going to get addicted to
energy. 100%.
Just go.
Yeah.
Like, what's the minimum required gear I would need? I don't want to make this all in a hunter podcast, but like
you have it all. I mean, it's a pack. I mean, you need a shooting tripod.
Yeah.
Something a little bit beefier than a glass and tripod typically. Mm-hmm. You need something, and really your tripod, you know, you're using it for glassing. Having like a tack table is really nice.
I actually just picked up a tack table.
There you go. So you got that. You know, using a tack table to glass off of. I typically just run a bag. I just throw a bag right on my ball head and just use that to glass off of. Kilo 10K. Gen 2 is a really good optic to use. I'm just saying. Image stabilized binos as backups if you can't find the targets. Awesome, you have those. Shooting bags are key. Like, you got to have shooting bags.
But on the stabilized optics,
yeah,
what would be a good magnification?
You know, Dan Horner was the one that recommended me actually bringing him. And this is like a thing, and this goes back to time management. It's like, you have time. Like, you have the time to do it. And it's like, you can keep him in your pack. Dan keeps him slung over his shoulder. Mm-hmm. And you watch him shoot, and he runs him slung over his shoulder. He runs like 10s. Okay. I mean, because if you think about it, what you're using is 10 power range finding binos, realistically, or some people will use a monocular because they don't have, you know, range finding binos, they're just getting into it. But like, having the image stabilized binos slung over your back or just in your pack that are like super, you know, easily accessible. Mm-hmm. So if you can't find the target with range finding binos, at least you can scan quickly and you're stabilized and then find it. Oh, boom. And then back on, you know? So, that was kind of a tip and tricks kind of thing that I learned. Let's see, what else? Shooting bags are a must. Getting I like a Go Fill Light, something like that. I forget the exact name, but they're light bags. And then I have a couple different bags. I have like a pillow bag, and then I've got like I think it's the mini fortune cookie bag. I like those, but it's all personal preference. You know, I usually run like two bags with me, and then your pack and, you know, ears and eyes. And it's ammo and, you know, reload, whatever, or shoot factory and shoot factory ammo.
Gun wise. I mean,
now these
days, 6.5 Creed.
So I've been out of this game for a little bit, and I shot all 6.5, you know, shot the Sig Cross for all these. I shot the Bro edition with the 24-inch barrel. That gun was phenomenal for everything I was doing. 6 Creed is definitely kind of taken over Seekins once they did their factory 6 Creed rifle. Benny Cooley, dude was a freaking animal in factory class, and I think he still is, but it's that round for that is amazing. But you can also do like heavy, the heavy class, and you shoot all sorts of different things.
So leaving my 300 rum at home.
Yeah, I don't think the match director would be very happy with that one. Their steel would take a lot of damage on that, but yeah, man. Dude, we should do a team match. Team matches are pretty cool. So you get extra time, and it's basically a spotter shooter situation.
And I like that because that correlates really well to hunting.
Oh, yeah.
You have a spotter, you have a shooter.
Yeah. I did it with the very first match I did, and it was our other product manager at SIG. His name's Aaron Schooley. He does all of the rangefinders and thermal products. Me and him both wanted to do it, and we were like, you know what, let's do a team match. And Aaron doesn't hunt. He's not like, you know, glassing's not a big thing in his wheelhouse. And it was interesting. It was like trying to guide somebody in, you know, and like, you know, get him on target and all that. It made it a very interesting dynamic. We had a blast, and it score didn't matter. We were just there to try it. And we learned a lot, like, about each other and about our gear. And I mean, you learn so much about your gear and like what works, what doesn't work, which is cool. So
I think you got me convinced we got to do a team event.
Mm-hmm.
Find a way, if you don't mind.
We should do it
weekend, but
what's that?
If you don't mind losing that weekend,
dude. I'm so, you know, the one thing is, I think, you know, Peter Howell, you know, we did a couple matches together a couple years ago, and I was like, you know, I got finally got a podium, and that was my goal for the year. I went and trained with Dan Horner, and I left Dan's house, and he was like, all right, what's your goal for the year? And I was like, I want to get a podium. I left his house, ended up getting a podium, literally drove from his house to the next match and got a podium, and I was freaking pumped. It was the NRL Hunter Games. It wasn't the Hunter event, but I was stoked, and that was a goal for me that year, was to get a podium, and I got that. And well, it was cool. However, this is the worst part about it, right? It's because I'm just me. I'm very competitive, and I want to chase that dragon. And my season after that just beat me down into the ground, because it was just unfortunate event after unfortunate event, and it's just gear related stuff, and that's what kind of burnt me out that year, because I was so competitive. I went back the next year, shot two matches with Peter, and well, not as a team, but just together in the same group, and everybody was so taken back by us, because we were playing music on our phones and going. It was like when Jelly Roll was like really coming out, and like we were listening to Jelly Roll going from like stage to stage, just having fun. We didn't care what happened. And that was like, I needed that, because like I wasn't having fun at those events anymore, because I was so locked in on just being ultra competitive. And then Benny Cooley and Garrett Long from Meat Eater were just, you know, whooping my ass. And I was just like, God, I can't take this. But yeah, I think it's just, you know, as long as you set the expectations just to have fun and go out there and learn, it's amazing.
Yeah, I just want to show up, act like a sponge, soak up every little bit I can, because I just want to be a better hunter
at the end of the
day. But yeah, competing does interest me.
So yeah, it's cool. Yeah, don't let it bite you.
Yeah, but I just want to have fun.
Yeah. Yeah, Ross Sebi from Switchback Outdoors, he came out and he filmed an episode. He followed me on an NRL Hunter event. I think we were in, I want to say Cody, Wyoming or something like that. Or no, we were in Idaho. And he followed me around, and he had never been to one too. And he was kind of really, you know, he was very curious about the event. And so he came out and followed me around, and he was like, he walked away from the event, and he's like, dude, I got to do more long range shooting. And that's what he does with his kids, is he just goes out in the mountains, and he sends me videos like his kid shooting 1,000 yards. He's like, dude, check this out. And it's just like, it's cool. It's fun. Having the skill and being able to do that stuff is very cool. Like, I can relate to it, because like my son just, I was telling you earlier, he shot his first elk this season. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's very confident on a gun, and you know, it comes from him being a sponge, and he's gone to some NRL hunters with me, and I've had him shooting off tripods out to like 800 yards. And so he's got that confidence built into him. And like, you know, where we were, you know, a couple of the guys were like, you know, what do you think the comfortable distance is? And I was like, you know, I'd prefer for him to be like, I'd say under 400 yards. Well, the shot we had to take was at like 550, 530, or whatever it was. And he was confident as can be. He's dialing. I'm feeding him range and talking to him and quietly, you know, communicating with him. And, you know, I told him to take the shot, and he didn't even think about it. It was just like, boom. It's just like, wow. All right. And he dropped it. So it was cool. Yeah. Confidence. So just time behind the gun, man, running your scope, running dope and shooting. So yeah, you should do it. Yes, let's do it.
Whew.
We should find an event and do it. There's like 3 in Oregon.
Okay.
Well, I think there's like, 2 in Oregon, and then there's 1 in Washington in March. So we'll have to look. I'll look at the schedule. Yeah, yeah. Maybe we go to a cool somewhere neither of us have been or something. Yeah.
So I got that Sawtooth 6.5 PRC. That's been
money lately. Yeah, that would be cool. Yeah. Yeah.
Probably doesn't matter. Carbon fiber barrel, steel barrel, whatever.
No. Okay. No.
How many rounds are you shooting in a weekend, roughly?
Well, it depends. I think typically I want to say it's like, gosh, everybody that does NRL Hunter now is just going to laugh if they hear this, but I want to say it's like, I think it's like 70 to, I think I usually would bring like 120 rounds with me just to like be safe, you know? Having like rounds for sight in and, you know, checking dope and all that stuff. And then I want to say it's like, you know, obviously it depends on how many shots you take, right? So it's, I think it's, I forget how many stages it is, but I'm definitely out of practice on this one, but
it's a good rough one. Yeah. I was trying to think in my head, like, but yeah, reload, do I shoot factory?
Factory's pretty cool, man.
Yeah.
Factory's fun. Yeah. Cause I mean, it depends. Like,
then I can practice more. That's one thing. Yeah. Like, if I reload, that's the time I could be out, you know, doing situational shooting or shooting.
Totally. Yeah.
Like, yeah. Get more field time rather than sitting on my reloading bench when I'm,
yeah,
I probably don't need to.
I mean, you've been under a clock. Hold on. Let's back it up. Arc. I mean, you've been under a clock. You've seen it. You've felt the pressure.
Yeah. And it was a lot of pressure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Especially some of those stages where you had to glass the targets and do all that. So that was very similar to it.
And that's how we set those events up is based off of that. When we set those courses
around and run, and like, I enjoyed that a lot.
And that's Dan Horner, the one that sets that up. So he's the one that wants to give everybody the struggle bust.
Yeah, I almost snapped my leg at one time. That one ditch, and I was like trying to beat the time.
You've done it.
Done it in a sense, so but I just gotta do it officially.
A team match would be pretty sweet.
We gotta do that. Okay.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah,
a little sick go hunt team.
Yeah, that would be badass.
All right, this is why I wanted you on the podcast to convince me to do a cool shit.
Yeah What other cool shit you want to talk about?
I want to talk about your truck set up here.
Oh, yeah. We were
getting out of vehicles earlier, and I saw you posted a story the other day, you building a bunch of compartments in the
bed. Yeah.
I
was like,
dude, you got skills I didn't know you had.
I didn't even know I had those skills, to be honest. Wood is like something, this is weird. So when I was in like high school, like, you know, I grew up in East San Diego. It was all about pre-runners and like trophy trucks and all this stuff. And like, I wanted to work in a fab shop. I did work in a fab shop. Okay. Metal to me is like, it's like second nature.
Yep.
Cause you can beat it, you can form it, you can shape it, you can cut it, you can all this stuff, right? Wood scares the living F out of me. I don't know why. And, I don't know why, but this project I undertook was, so I got a GoFast camper this year. We sold our trailer and our family trailer that we had. It was like a 21 footer, and so I wanted something that was like mobile in that I could hunt out of, camp out of, fish out of.
We were talking earlier about how important that kind of is, especially when you're like a run and gun scout.
Yeah,
where you're scouting, you want to camp that night, set up, like make it easy on yourself. And like, I hate setting up my tent
in
the desert or on a mountain somewhere where it's like inconvenient, right? To pack it up the next morning, just have it all
contained.
Yeah.
Everything's locked in. So I, you know, I've Larry over at Go Hunt, I've known him for quite some time, and I was kind of like toying around with the idea for years and like literally years and years. And I finally was like, talked to Larry, and I was like, dude, I'm ready. Like, I want to get one. So they launched their V2 Pro Max, which is their new version that has a longer bed up top. Like my son and I'm 6'2", my son's 6'1", and we fit both up there comfortably. Tons of room. Anyways, so ordered one of those. I was up in Montana for my hunt and went to their facility, picked it up. They installed it. Rad shop, rad people. The owner is super cool dude and came, talked to me, and we were chatting. Not that I'm anybody, but didn't know who I was and just came over. Like, I could have just been a Joe Schmo off the street. He came over, sat down with me, talked to me. I was there for a couple hours chatting with the guys and showing them optics and all the stuff out of my truck while they're installing, and they're all hunters out of there, so it was pretty cool. But I got that installed, and then it was like, all right, what do I do with all my gear? And I wanted to be somewhat self-contained in the back where I'm not like unloading and loading stuff constantly, still figuring it out. But then enter the overlanding community, which is crazy.
So I can't remember what the event was called, but
Overland Expo.
Yeah. And outside of, where was that at? In Arizona somewhere.
Flagstaff, yeah.
Yeah, so me and my girlfriend went there 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Blew my mind. Yeah,
it's crazy.
It's just like these are my people in a way. Yeah. But it's like all this stuff that I saw there, I was like, this is the stuff that a lot of people, we don't talk about in hunting that often, how to like trick out a truck to make you self-sustained when you're in the mountains, make sure you have all the, you know, essentials if you get stuck or whatever it may be, or just trying to live more comfortably or lock your gear down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When you're traveling, like going through towns. Yep. Like, yep.
And like that opened my eyes to like, there's so much cool stuff.
Dude, it's wild. Like it's crazy. And the DIY community in that is insane. The cool thing is like, so like the GoFast community, like there's a Facebook group and then they have a forum that's online, and GoHunt's been around for quite a long, or not GoHunt, GoFast has been around for quite a long time. And so they have a pretty big community and following, and they're on their, this is their third generation of tents. So there's tons of information, tons of people doing DIY mods and all that stuff. And I was thinking about storage, and I've had a deck system and yeah. loved it. Didn't like it in the sense of like how much space it took up in my bed.
You lose a lot of that space.
Well, you lose a lot of that space, and then you lose a lot of that forward room, right? Mm-hmm. And so like there's no open space on the floor. It's just two drawers that pull out, and then you don't have that, like you lose all your truck space
basically. Yep.
So I wanted to build something that was like an L shape, and then I wanted to be able to like contain a barbecue of some sort. I've seen a lot of people do like Coleman stoves and all that stuff, and jet boils and all sorts of different things, but I wanted to do a Blackstone. I like to cook. I like steaks. I like elk meat. I like deer meat. I like all that stuff, and I wanted something real to cook on versus just like a little Coleman stove.
So I wanted something to contain that, some other
storage, keeping like air compressors, stuff like that up in the front, and still figuring some stuff out. But yeah, so took on that project. That was a project. Learned a lot about woodworking.
Measure once when you should have measured twice?
Actually, only, I would say probably two or three times, probably three times. I'm going to go with the over. Okay. Probably three times. There was a couple of F-bombs thrown in the garage. My wife definitely coming out and checking on me, make sure I didn't cut my arm off or something. But got a lot of new tools. Favorite tool in the garage right now is a router.
Dude, I got one of those recently too, because I was routing stuff on my reloading bench.
They're so cool.
Yeah, you can do so much with it.
Oh, yeah.
They're, like, amazing. Yeah. I was doing, like, roundovers. Then I learned how to, like, I did an inside roundover with latches. So, it, like, sits, like, flush mm-hmm. in there. Pretty proud of myself on that one. Did two cutouts in the L shape. And then Troy was, like, one day we were at work. And Troy goes, so you're going to be able to fit a cooler in there? I was like, yeah.
Didn't think
about that. And then I literally took a picture, like grabbed my biggest cooler and I put it right there. I was like, yes, a cooler will fit. I planned this out. Yes. But yeah, it's cool, man. All the different things. Yeah. Like, I mean, you can buy the same setup for like, it costs like $4,000. And I was like, no way, man. So I just started doing some research and built the frame out of, 2020 aluminum extruded metal or extruded aluminum. It's like adult Legos. It's pretty cool. Yeah, it's like I just used my chop saw with aluminum cutting blade on it and cut everything to, you know, the sizes I wanted, and then cut all the wood out, beveled all, or not beveled, but rounded all the edges with a router, and that was cool. That is a cool tool.
So main purpose of all that was just internal storage and compartments.
Yeah. Internal storage compartments to try to be self-contained, right? And so I'm not loading like eight boxes in the bed of my truck kind of deal. Still working through that. Diesel heater was another thing I've added to the whole situation, yeah. Which usually for the winter, you know, like we're camping up last weekend. We camped up at Meadows up at Mount Hood. It was like 30 degrees.
A lot of YouTube videos about the little diesel
heater. Dude, they're pretty awesome. Yeah. Not even pretty awesome. They're awesome. I mean, it's 30 degrees outside and 68 degrees in my tent. So yeah.
Cause this is like, so my girlfriend, she likes to be adventurous, but she doesn't like to camp outside.
Yeah.
So the first time I took her, we started dating like whatever, 2 years ago. And I took her to the Grand Canyon mm-hmm. and never really been camping before. I was like, oh yeah, it's going to be great. It's going to be great weather. It was like March, I think, timeframe.
Yeah.
I didn't know there was going to be like 40-mile-an-hour winds that night.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, we're going to have like a little romantic. We're going to be able to cook steaks on the campfire and do all this crazy stuff. And then we took the Stone Glacier Sky Dome.
Yeah.
Little did I know that the boys went in at caribou hunting.
Yeah.
Poked a giant hole in the top of it. And then the bottom was like, had tundra and all sorts of junk on it. And it was so windy that we ended up spending majority of the time in my truck.
Oh, man.
And we did sleep still in the tent, but it was like a miserable experience
for me.
And like right now, I was just sending her a video the other day of some like gorgeous spot in a couple states. Like, I want to take you there. But she's like, I'm still not comfortable with the whole camping thing. And I'm like, I need to kit out my truck.
Yeah.
For like this setup. Because then we can take the dog. We can take her. It's comfortable. Like a computer thing in there. Yeah. I can still use it for hunting.
Yep.
We can go explore awesome places
together. And you got the rig now.
Yeah. Like, I'm starting to trick out the things, like ditch lights. And
My truck looked exactly like your truck like 2 months ago. Yeah. And now it's like an overlanding
machine. I get so
much crap for it in the office. Like, you.
But it's useful.
Oh, it's so useful. Like,
and you always, like, if I don't do it now, I'm going to think like
6 years,
7 years, when my truck's really older, I'm like, why didn't I do it then? All those other hunts, all those scouting trips, like, I have big plans to draw, you know, couple of mule deer tags, and I want to run up and scout. They're far away.
Yep.
And I want to be able to be mobile, still take a bunch of gear. Like, I've already had plans, like, okay, what type of late season hunt could I do where I could still be mobile, like, using my vehicle, even though I love backpack.
Yep.
But there's times and a place for hunting out of a truck.
Or, totally.
You know, parking and getting on glass things. Like, I need a better vehicle setup.
Yeah. I would highly recommend the Go Fast. It's pretty sweet. We've only spent maybe 3 nights in it so far, but yeah, it's amazing. I can't wait for like spring summertime, because like, I ride dirt bikes and we trail ride a lot, and being able to load up on that and head out and like be able to stay and camp and barbecue and enjoy the time out there and not have to, you know, tents are fine. Yeah, like, tents are fine. Like, done that my whole life.
Exactly. I've definitely,
creature comforts are kind of nice.
Every now and then, I'm kind of, I love to suffer, but if I can do something with my girlfriend. I
like to suffer in the backcountry.
Yeah. And if I could double a scouting trip with taking her with
me,
I can enjoy it together like that, like, that's a win.
Nailed it.
It means I can scout for bigger bucks.
Yeah. Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
Do you lose miles per gallon off the top?
Not, dude, honestly, I was shocked. No. I've got the 6.2 version of your truck. It didn't really affect anything.
Wind noise or anything like that?
That was the one thing I was shocked, absolutely shocked about. No additional noise. I was blown away. I left the Go Fast, shop, and I was driving back, where I was hunting, and, I thought for sure I was going to hear some extra noise, and there was none. And the cool, like, do you have a moonroof in your truck? Yeah. So that Go Fast, like, they literally, I talked to their designer, and like, it's literally, I think I was like the fourth install of the new camper, and it literally was like designed perfectly for the moonroof, dude. It literally stops right on the edge. It like fits like a glove.
Yeah, because I first got, like, obviously, I'd never owned a new vehicle my whole life. And last year,
I
treat myself finally. I never knew. I've always thought a moonroof would be cool. But once it was, like, an included, they just had the truck with
me. Yeah.
Like, okay, whatever. I've grown to love that.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah.
It's pretty slick. Roll it back. Sometimes I've been driving down steep country. And I'm like, I pull over, glass over the top.
Stand up. And yeah.
So as long as that's great, it doesn't block it.
Yeah. So it doesn't block it. All sorts of things. But, yeah, it's cool. I mean, for moving from spot to spot, right? And, you know, it's like, even if you do, like, you go hike into the backcountry or whatever, and you come back out and you need to spend a day in the front country and jump up there, it's super easy to set up. I mean, it's like, kid you not, like 30 seconds to put up and 30 seconds to put down. It's so fast. It's ridiculous.
Walk me through that little net thing you were telling me about
earlier. Oh, yeah. So the only gripe I have is you can't close it with your bedding up top. So, like, your sleeping bag or whatever. And pillows. So I forget what dimension the holes are, but they have threaded holes in the side of the frame in the Go Fast, and you can thread in some like marine eyelets in there. So I threaded those in, and this was again off the forum, right? I saw somebody do this, and it was literally like 4 eyelet screws and then a net off of Amazon. So I just have a bungee net underneath it. And so, like, if I need to throw my sleeping bag in there and move somewhere quick, it's just like, I don't need to roll anything up and just stuff it in there. So just little things, paracord, little paper towel holders, like, you know, just, yeah, you know, I'm a real overlander now.
Well, yeah, I was talking about, like, I had that a really good mule deer tag last year.
Yeah.
I was like, gosh, that would have been the perfect hunt for it. Running all the time, checking out new spots, checking out different chainings, different, you know, desert country.
Yeah.
I was like, the other hunt where I feel an overlanding setup for hunting is perfect for? Antelope hunting.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
How many times are you covering just miles after miles vehicle, and then you're like, oh, now I have to drive all the way back to our base camp that we had set up for stupid reason.
When
now we're end up all the antelope are, you know, an hour and a half away from here, when you could just park your truck.
Yep.
Pop up the little tent on top.
Yep. And you're
all up there. A great sleep.
You can glass out of it too.
Oh, I didn't even think about this part.
Yeah. So the top, you can literally sit up top and the whole window out the back rolls up and you can glass out of the top.
So basically it's like a high rack.
Yeah, pretty much.
For Mexico high rack.
It's pretty sweet. Like you can do all sorts.
Oh my gosh. I can think of so many places.
I mean, technically, I don't know if they recommend it. I haven't tried it yet, but I'm assuming I've seen them put a truck on top of their campers.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's that stout. You could stand on the top. I don't know if they'd recommend it, but like you could
when it's folded down.
Yeah, when it's folded down. But I mean, realistically, you're at the same, maybe like give or take like 4 inches, but you're at the top basically if you're sitting up there glassing out. And the cool thing is like when you're inside, like let's say it's raining, you can push the bed forward and stand up in your truck, and you have like, I haven't measured it yet, but I imagine it's probably like 13 feet of headroom. So for a guy like you, like you just literally pop the top, or you're tense up, and then you just pop the bed and push it forward. And now you have the entire bed of your truck to stand up, change, cook, whatever you need to do, like coffee, you name it. So hang out.
We should have had this conversation last year after I drew this tag.
Purchasing, but yeah. Man, and it's all, I mean, the cool thing about the company too is like there's other companies that make these, but Go Fast is all, they're out of Montana, they make all their stuff in-house. Again, super cool dudes. Their customer service is amazing. Like
My good buddy Ryan Gentry from New Mexico, we always over we did an antelope hunt giveaway, and he had his Go Fast camper set up there. We didn't end up pitching in rain.
Yeah,
I was like geeking out inside. He had a spare tire mount in a spot in there, and like just the amount of room he had inside.
Yeah.
See the tent part.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Pretty neat.
Have you gone all bougie? They did the whole solar panel and a Starlink mini.
No, I haven't done that yet. I'll probably do like I've got a battery. I've got two different batteries. I've got like a 1,000-watt Blue Eddy battery. And then I've got I think it's like a 200 watt battery pack it comes with lights inside of it. So you can run them red LED, amber, or white LED. So I run the lights off of the smaller battery pack. And then right now I'm running, because it's winter and we're winter camping, I'm running the diesel heater off of the big battery, which is cool. Like the other day, for instance, like this diesel heater, ran it from 9 a.m. to, not 9 a.m., 9 p.m. to 6:15 a.m. in the morning, and only ran down the battery 20%.
So you don't need like a full-on like mini like Honda 1000 generator.
No, you don't. You can run it off a battery, which is cool.
A Go Zero type battery.
It's a battery brick. It weighs like 30-40 pounds or whatever, but they're super small. I mean, they have fast charging, so like your truck has a plug in the back, a 110 plug in the back, so when you're driving you plug it in and it charges. Like pretty sweet. It's like doing an NRL hunter, you know. I can give you all the tips and secrets.
Yeah, I guess feel like a load of information.
Yeah, it's cool, man. I for me and for my son and like what we do and like with all the different activities we do, it's just like it's a no-brainer for us. I don't have to tow anything. Like I've towed my trailer up to the mountain before, and it's sketchy, especially in ice. And this is like, just put my truck in auto four-wheel drive and no big deal. I'm not towing a trailer and worrying about stopping in ice.
You know, the thing I think about too, it's like you look at all the times when you want to go travel somewhere and flying or whatever, that's expensive.
Yeah.
And then you think of all the hotels you might
need
to do something like, gas is expensive
and
for diesel, like my truck and driving around, but like all that money you would save.
Well, too, I mean, think about it. Like, if you're road tripping somewhere, like, instead of stopping at a hotel or something like
that, like,
you can literally park on the side of the road or find somewhere to camp on the side of the road. You can do it at a friggin' rest stop, too. I mean, or a Walmart parking lot. Like, obviously, I'd be carrying something else if I'm parking in those spots. But, yeah, I mean, that's the cool thing is you you can set up literally anywhere. So, yeah.
Any other things you can do to your truck?
I got a 270 awning. I don't know if you've seen those, but it's basically a awning that is on the, I got a passenger, or I'm sorry, a driver's side one, but it opens up 270, so it covers your tailgate.
Oh, dang.
And it has LED lights under it and all that, so I got that in there. I've got the drawer system now with the barbecue. That's pretty dialed. I'm trying to think of like some other storage ideas. Was at Home Depot. Spent a lot of time at Home Depot over the last couple months.
But Home Depot or Lowe's?
Home Depot. I'm an orange guy. Orange guy. Yeah. Have you seen the pack out attachments that you can put on walls? And
I've seen a lot of guys been doing that.
I hadn't seen that.
So there's this Facebook forum. It's like a Chevy Silverado.
Yeah.
Reviews. Freaking love that.
Yeah.
Why are you looking at trucks?
Yeah.
Like this Facebook group
yeah.
is the best.
Yeah. It's feed off of other people's ideas.
And they did a bunch of those little pack out things.
You get
inside and it's like, whew.
So I'm thinking like, cause all you know, the side of my L-shaped drawer system is all, it's all birch plywood, but I painted it all with like Herculiner, like bed liner, but I can still drill into it. It's not a big deal, but I'm thinking of either doing like a Molly panel on the sides of those so I can mount little things. Or doing like the pack out system, which is pretty cool. So, but other than that, it's, I mean, now I just got to go use it. So, yeah, it's like, that's the biggest thing is like getting out and using it and running and gunning.
The little backup light thing you were talking about was pretty cool too.
Oh, yeah, the diode dynamics. Yeah, that was a game changer. As you know, our trucks' reverse lights suck.
They suck. Absolutely suck, and I realize that.
And you can't replace the bulbs with LED bulbs because they're sealed. Pod lights you're talking about, they're pretty sick.
Yeah, so those little, I think they're called pod holes or something like that the company is.
They're like 3D printed.
Yeah, so basically the little steps you have on the back of a like Chevy Silverado,
yeah.
It just replaces that and goes inside there. So you still do have a step part of it,
yep.
But they're Baja S1 lights.
Yeah, yeah.
And I purchased those, was it right on Christmas? I haven't installed them yet, but.
Oh, you have them?
I have them right now.
Oh, what the heck are you waiting for, dude? This is like the time of the year to do it.
Especially when it's cool out. So I'm gone the next couple weeks.
Yeah.
But I got to find a weekend to be excited because like I was mentioning to you, we, elk hunting this year.
Yeah.
A nasty road we had to drive up, scratched the F out of my truck. And literally at one point I saw these headlights coming down the mountain. I was like, that's got to be on a different road. I hope it's not. This is literally.
Yeah.
It almost looks like a side-by-side road.
Yeah.
It was like, you can tell trucks have been down it. And I hadn't seen very many pullouts at all. We had anticipated camping on this one spot, and there was already a group of guys camped there. So like, we have to go to the head end of the road. But I already know previously, because I was up there the day before, like it's not a very big turn. More than three vehicles are kind of screwed.
Screwed, yeah.
I was like, I think there was only one road in here. And I was like, that light, he better not, hope he sees me.
Ugh.
And luckily I had my ditch lights in my spot.
Yeah.
So I was like, making sure I was very bright. Luckily he was smart enough to park up on top. And he's like, yeah, I saw you coming up and I didn't want to drive down because he knew too, like there's no pull up.
No way, yeah.
He had told me earlier that when he came up, he ran into a guy and they had a-
3 miles? Yeah.
To find a pull off in the dark.
You wouldn't be doing that with your truck currently. You'd maybe have to, but it was like, yeah, that'd be brutal.
But when I saw those like lights I can use for the reverse, yeah, the reverse lights.
God, what did people do with like, none of this technology, no backup cameras. Like, I mean,
backup cameras to me.
Did you have a backup camera in your last truck?
No, I didn't even have a, I couldn't even connect Bluetooth.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
I take vehicles and I ride them into the ground.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like,
it's new vehicle of our own. It's like this new technology. I can go in. It's like, oh, CarPlay.
We're sitting here complaining about reverse lights.
Yeah. Like, there's no problems here. I dislike technology for a lot of things in life.
Right now, yeah. Go fast campers, reverse lights.
The little things in life.
Little things, you know? Yeah. 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 We've worked hard in our lives. We can do this kind of stuff. We're men, you know? Yeah. Yeah.
I'm turning 40 in June here, so I got to start, you know.
Welcome to the club, man. Yeah. It's good. 40's mm-hmm. good. I feel good at 40.
I feel like the best I've ever felt right now.
Same here. Yeah.
Honestly, dude.
Yeah.
Like,
dude, you've been running like crazy.
Like crazy. I'm starting to do a little bit of mountain tough workouts.
Yeah, nice.
A little bit. I'm trying to ramp it up probably after show season a little bit more.
Yeah.
I was going to do tough sheep here.
Yeah, you're doing tough sheep.
So, we have a wave of going sponsoring one of the waves. I'm not quite sure if I still have to do the workout, but I will.
Do it.
Or am I supposed to create the wave that I have, but
yeah,
we do it with them.
So that's awesome. Yeah, that'll be fun, man.
It's trying to like stay active and
yeah.
Because like, I can't remember if we were talking earlier, but like there's so many people like you see our age. It's like you gotta still be going in life.
Yeah.
You gotta keep moving around. Like
you have to.
Like find some hobby, find some means to like, motivated.
Anything. Yeah. It's like, I mean, it's not to get dark and grim here, but it's like, you know, you see older people, I've seen it with my grandparents. It's like, you know, they go through injuries or whatever. And as soon as you stop moving, that's when, unfortunately, things happen. And it's like, you got to stay active and you got to just, you have to stay active and you have to keep your mind active. Creativity. And that's kind of my thing is like finding that creativity and like that drawer system. That was creativity. And that was like, I had a blast doing it. It was frustrating as hell, but just, you know, using a different side of my brain and getting back to like just building things with my hands. So, yeah.
That's why I really loved the time when I was working on my reloading benches, like
yeah,
looking at plans on the internet and figure out how to customize
yeah
it upstairs once I build it. Like, I was like, how am I going to lift this
yeah
giant heavy bench? Because I wanted to make it heavy so nothing moved around. Yeah.
Yeah, Troy just bought a new house. They just moved in a new house. And he was talking about building a workbench in his garage. And I was like, you start working on your workbench yet? And he's like, I'm just going to buy one off of Facebook Marketplace. I can get one so cheap. And I was like, what? And I was like, dude, come on. And his dad's like a master woodworker. Like his dad is a G when it comes to woodworking. He actually helped me do some like pretty interesting cuts I had to make. He taught me a couple tips and tricks. And I was like, dude, your dad's going to like, you have your dad over and help you, dude. Like that would be amazing. Mm-hmm. I was like, come on, just build it. Build it yourself.
Yeah. It's just so fun to get your
hands dirty. Yeah.
Like, nothing better than that.
Yeah.
Anything else we got?
I don't know. What are you, any other questions, comments?
I mean, Sig's got some, been pretty awesome lately.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a whole other conversation, but yeah.
Yeah, man. It's been
a ride. I'm coming up on 5 years at Sig and, It's been cool. It's, you know, innovation is our number one focus, and being able to just kind of run at my own pace, which is kind of what I like to do, and nobody really holding me back has been, I think, a blessing. And we've come out with some really, really cool, not just in my category, but like, you know, not my category, but, you know, the observation category has been... been on a train ride for a little bit now, but and hopefully that continues, and I think it will. But other categories we have, I mean, there's just it's a great time to be there. It's just the innovation that's happening, and
it's so much fun every single day.
It is.
It's obviously still work. There's a lot of work involved, but it's like what you get to do on a daily basis and then get products and customers.
Yeah,
like when you go to shows and they flip stabilization on the Zulu Sixes, and it's like you see their eyes.
Yeah,
you're making glassing fun again.
Yeah, seeing is believing with a man. It's literally, that's my punchline for this week, and I gotta do some presentations this weekend, and it's literally seeing is believing. Like, I kid you not, like I could talk to you until you're blue in the face, or till I'm blue in the face, and until you pick them up and try them for yourself, it's really one of those things you don't understand. And there's tons of reviews out there. Obviously, you guys have done them, and other people have done them, and I think it's just still one of those things until you put them in your hands and see it. It's just, it's something people don't believe. So seeing is believing with them. It has changed how I hunt and how I glass completely. I'm still a glass knob, was a glass knob, and it's changed everything in my game. I don't think I could go back to traditional binos, to be honest.
It's not possible.
Yeah. And I think what we have coming in the future, we'll put an emphasis on that. So yeah, it's a fun time to be around and be alive in this industry. It's a lot of innovation happening in our world.
Yeah. It's cool to see even like, you know, like my family, like I always take my, you know, my dad, my brother, and you know, after they, you know, grab my Zulu Sixes and glass for the first time, they're like, I'm buying those when I get back.
Yeah.
Now, like my whole family has them,
and it's
their friends have them.
Yeah,
like it's wild,
and it's cool now because we actually have some competition in the space. So competition's good. because you know what? That pushes innovation even faster and further. So it's exciting to be in this space right now and pushing it forward. And it's cool to work with guys like yourself because, you know, it's all these ideas are not my ideas. You know, it's talking to guys like yourself and other people in the field using the product myself and taking all this feedback and building this product that's ultimately how this innovation happens.
It's cool to see. It's cool from the outside, cool to see you listen to people and just constant just innovation and trying things.
Yeah.
It's the coolest part. You guys are trying things that, I wish I had 15 years ago.
Yeah. Seriously. God. Yeah. Oh man. I can't even imagine where this space would be. But it's been around. Like,
yeah.
SIG wasn't the first company to do image stabilization. Like, I'll be the first one to own up to that. Like, Canon paved the way for, there was probably a company before Canon. I don't know. But like, Canon paved the way for everybody. Like, and it was like, kind of like looked at as this like foolish thing. And like, Lampers was the first person to like really hype up image stabilization back in the day. And then like, we were the first to do it in the hunting space. And now we're on our third generation of image stabilized products, and you know, now we have the spotting scope, the Oscar 6, and it's just it's gangbusters.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow, let's see.
Yeah.
We were talking about earlier with Porter in the office.
Yeah.
Like, it's cool, like, bringing things new out there and testing it and not being scared of what other people are going to think, because like, there's use cases
for everything. Oh, totally.
And it's just, this is awesome to give people other options.
Yep. Yeah.
Keep their minds thinking about like, okay, I have this hunt, like, how's this going to benefit me? And then you realize, you take it on the field and you're like, oh, that one situation where it was super windy, yeah, you know, still able to glass the animal. And because of that, you know, I punched a tag, or because of that, I had the, you know, first successful hunt, yeah, whatever it could be. Like, options are endless for.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's awesome to see.
Yeah. I mean, you look at guys that surf or snowboard, everybody's got a different board for different conditions.
Mm-hmm. It's the same exact thing.
It's like, you know, different optics for different things, man. It's, you know, and some people like the image stabilized stuff and some people don't, and that's fine. And I've seen a lot of people change their minds over the past few years, but yeah, it's something else, man. It's truly, yeah, it's just cool to be a part of it. So I'm happy to help pave the way, I guess, and push boundaries. So.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Oh, I've kept you here long enough, I think.
Yeah. Dude, it's crazy on a podcast. It just goes by so fast.
Yeah, we're last ones at the Go Hunt office right now. It's 6:30 in the afternoon and evening, I guess it is. Busy week.
Now it's on SHOT Show.
It's fun hanging out today.
Yeah, it was good.
Appreciate you stopping in.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Jumping on the podcast.
Glad to be on Miller Tynes.
Glad to have you.
Thank you.
A fun little project.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see it.
I'm excited to see where it goes. So, yeah.
Fun having a conversation with people I like. I did my solo podcast. My first one, Trail's like, yeah, this whole podcast are like kind of rough. You have to like practice it a while, and like, I don't know, it felt really good and natural in a way, and it took me one take. So we'll see how people like it. But
you gave me a little insight to it. I think the topic that you hit is pretty spot on.
Yeah, it was a fun one. I want to do more of like that stuff.
Yeah,
that's why I figured like that first one is kind of different. It's kind of deep.
Yeah,
kind of like, obviously this one's gonna come out right after that one, but. Yeah, I got some other ideas from some solo podcasts too. And
it's
something I couldn't do in the Big Hunt guys. So
yeah, like
different avenue, different way.
Share your perspective, man. And that's what this is about. It's sharing your perspective. And hey, some people like it, some people don't. But you know, it's some people take something away from it, and that's all you can ask for. So
appreciate you, boss.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
I look forward to hanging out again on an NRL match with you.
Oh, locked in.
Oh.
Here we go.
All right, guys. Thanks for listening. Catch you next time.